and Max Davis arguing in his own defense, or that petitioner on the bill is Stephen P. Hurley. Dooley and Davis will argue on behalf of Judge Max Davis in a rebuttal.
is the issue in this case?
U.S. court or as
mentioned. I don't think to go as far as to say earlier, but...
I want you to know this is important to me, to know what the position
is. No, I don't think so. So it's like, well, no, I'll put this, but I'll try. How specifically would or will taking this oath prejudice your representation, you talked about your client? As I said, the only decision is my conscience. It has no difference in effect.
And all of it to reveal something that they don't know.
That is good.
So this is
I'm not trying to say, well, I want to know how specific. Tell me specifically how taking the oath prejudices your client. You talked about your client. Not taking the oath will prejudice my client. So your objective is simply to taking the oath, isn't it? My objective is to take the oath. I will take the oath, but first is the authority to order the proceedings in court. We need to obey that order of the court. So what is the difference in the effect and the effect between the effect of that order and the effect of the oath? The difference to my client is none.
How would you bring the issue in this case? You say the issue is post. I know a number of things that the issue is not. But tell me how you phrase the issue in this case. Does the phrasing include the power of a John Doe judge or magistrate? I know what your position is, but your position is the same thing as a legal issue.
The issue is whether a grand jury may precondition the representation of a witness before him. And his lawyers taking this superfluous and unauthorized oath of secrecy. That is the issue.
Are you an issue of principle? You're bound. Would it be a court of perjury?
And the oath I was requested to take had nothing to do with the trial of the
court. If you violate the oath, that's a penalty.
It is the same as violating the order. There's no difference.
No difference. So, let's start off from me to understand. There is no difference. In terms of your relationship to the John Doe judge and John Doe proceedings, there is no difference in your relationship to your client.
Well, I won't agree with that.
Take that from Lindley. Mm-hmm. I'm looking for difference. I'm looking for something that would say to you,
you agree to something in person.
Okay. That's because you thought it should be open to notice.
I thought it was in the interest of your client. There are many times in the phone, no, it's in the interest of my client that it's simple.
Okay, but you didn't know that you wanted it open, but you didn't want it closed. You didn't know it.
Yeah. I was not doing that actually.
You have lived it out of time in that
respect.
So your view is that taking the oath somehow puts you taking a position that's contrary to what you had the opportunity to do with your client's position.
My client, I need to protect him.
Right.
The court asked me to do something in his presence that hurt him. If I am ordered to do that, I will. If I am asked to embrace that, I won't. It's simply a matter of principle.
concerned in our relationship with my mom.
Mr. Miller, I want to shift for a moment away from the principal argument. I want to look at the authority to issue the oath in the first place. I look at section 87.01. Who is administered to the state? If you begin to hold your affidavit, require authorized by law, except those two jurors and witnesses on the file, except other oaths that are required by law to be taken before a particular officers may be taken before judge, court, or several. What I'm looking for is the legal authority to give the oath, or at least require you to give the oath in the first place.
There's no statutory authority for this oath being accepted. The only authority, my reading to be found, is to find it within the inherent authority of the magistrate.
Did your client get the oath?
He did.
You have the opportunity to whisper in his ear and say, don't do it?
I'm calling you on the stand, I'm from the jury box. And I want to say to you, some of the briefs, there are 244 judges in Wisconsin, and it's no way to go on the ground up. You don't need voters here in the state of my client or me administered such an oath. It happened to me once 20 years ago. It was indeed 20 years ago. I was very aware. I remember walking out of the jungle afterwards saying, what's the matter with you with your education and your and I found myself I'd never do it again. It never came up again in all the bills I've been in 20 years until this time. And my client had not been prepared for that. It says that every witness, in order to be confident, must be able to tell the truth. And that is the oath to which I believe that's had to refer. I don't believe it's an invitation to make that oath. But those things are restricted by the court's order, and I don't agree with it. It's all right. And that is why I tell you, if you order me, I'll do it. But don't ask me to commit myself morally and of conscience to that, because it hurts your client.
It can't hurt your client if you do what you want to do, but you cannot read them under the order. What's the difference to this?
If there is no difference, Your Honor, then why are you asking it? About the limit of inherent authority. Inherent authority exists to do that which is necessary to carry out the court's jurisdictional limit. That which is necessary. And the only question is, don't perceive the difference between the order and the oath. And there is no difference.
the immunity for violation of the oath is such an oath necessary. Maybe it makes the judge feel good, but it isn't necessary.
If I'm calling for any time, if my lawyer is not an officer of the court, is the witness instructed to allow secrecy?
In this case, all people in the court, including the witness, were ordered to maintain the secrecy of the proceeding.
And if the person who needs to maintain secrecy, No change in the remedy, no change in the nature of the application.
That is correct. The oath to tell the truth is different. Because the oath to tell the truth, when violated, can result in a prosecution for perjury.
And when there are two principles. One is the judge has no authority.
That's correct.
Not just during my hearing, because it's necessary. And two, you see it as a violation of your own conscience. Cause it obliges me to do something you're already obliged to do, but by taking it as a whole, you haven't been given the opportunity to tell the judge.
I would be happy to explain to the judge and to you fully those interests in my client without revealing information that is confidential and not really confidential. The state does not reveal to us those that are confidential. If one is thinking that the court of appeals has a better record about the taking before the judge, that is probably very often, as in this case, I would appreciate to explain to the court why it is not in the best interest of my client.
Because I should be trying to hold it.
That's correct. Because in doing so, they would be entitled to say, I would not want to talk to you.
And the remedy here for your unwillingness, Mr. Carroll's unwillingness to take the oath, is that the judge has said you can't represent your client.
That's correct.
And you object to that remedy.
Indeed. If this court were to hold that it was within the magistrate's authority to require settlement, then I don't believe the remedy is inappropriate. I don't quarrel with that. The question is whether it is within the inherent authority of the magistrate to require it. And if settlement is not necessary to the outcome of the tribunal.
Indeed, we have. The best that phrase allergies from our, among others, our case incumbents.
From
because we set out for a gender of women, which has limited authority to. Was the oath necessary to fulfill the jurisdiction? That's what the state of the state legal question. Do you agree with that or disagree
with that? I agree. I think the necessary is if there is no difference. I to the Lord.
I'd like to, if I might, go back to something you said earlier in regard to your own experience. I think you indicated that this happened to you about 20 years ago. It happened again with Jeff Davis. Was it in the same county that you had the same experience?
No. 20 years ago, it was here in Greenville. And I tell you, 17 years after you go to you have 17 different experiences. And part of the reason, not personally or with the in part, but as you learn and then get to the court, it is thickness. It's okay. You have a context. You very rarely get to review a child overseer. And many of you don't have a full record. I've gone into child overseers where judges have told me you can't help, judges have told me you cannot, judges have told me I'm not taking it in secrecy. Most judges have told me I didn't have to. Judges have pulled my client in the case of people. They didn't see how the answer they were going to be possibly incriminating. They don't know how they have to answer the question.
So, Jeff, excuse me to interrupt you, but what you're telling us, since I was a judge for 14 years, is that judges have different ways of running John Doe proceedings, and they also, we have judges have an inherent power in how they run that, and you're saying that this situation, the judge has no inherent power. He or she is violating that by requiring you to take the oath.
I think many judges acting as magistrates in their own proceedings have the feeling that they have broad inherent powers. And I would welcome the courts defining the breadth of those inherent powers.
So the only issue in this case is assuming the law will continue that and assuming she is reading it accurately. The issue is how do you apply it to these two which we invite New York.
Okay.
And so expecting a huge discussion
What is the circumstance under which they would have prohibition on
there are cases in Washington County in the Shenando who apparently have already taken the oath.
That's correct.
36 months if we were to find that the court would be able to
defend it. It is an older country of practice. Perhaps there is more than this is. And I think the first time it would be easy to raise my hand and take the oath and get it over with. But if I wouldn't have passed. And there would be cases perhaps right now in the same position as was Mr. Hiler's injury, and it may have been of little or no consequence to those witnesses. I have no way of making a comparison, because I don't know who those lawyers were or who it was they represented.
Mr. Hurley, have you ever looked at the judge's bench book in regard to how a judge should conduct a John Doe?
Yeah.
Is there any mention there of a requirement of an attorney's taking oath?
I'm not speaking to the other.
There would simply be in regard to if you were testifying.
That is correct.
And then some questions on if there are attorney instructions to deal with this in this law.
That is correct.
Would it be demoted that at least in the people who make up the bench vote and the people who write the jury and the special material, it's not within the framework of practice. That's what it leads to. Because it's not that's maybe 20 judges, maybe 30 judges, roughly 240.
And you know, persuasive one way for many instructions that are not perceived at the time the section is written and are added later on. I don't know that presence or absence is particularly persuasive. So,
and you asked about the authority to remove it from the case. I think the other party in the matter of time will pursue in 2016. And the decision, there's the general judge's responsibility for procedural errors. And that is such a turn to conflict of interest that we need to figure out procedural fairness. That would be the reason for the court saying that there was a court to remove an attorney. It was not for itself, but for avoiding procedural fairness. What procedural fairness is the reason for the court to remove?
I don't know that. If we don't know how, in light of our affirmation that we would obey the order, our refusal to take an oath in addition to that presented any procedural difficulty to the tribunal.
You say that in your brief, I think, in that falls down. But legally, we approach it with our presence and with our statutes and look at the composer with their authority.
We both that your claim will not propose anything in the proceeding. Disclose it to no one other than sworn agents of the proceeding. If the court took the oath,
this is not the book I presented earlier, but if I looked at that off, it is correctly brought. It would prevent Mr. Harlow and I from leaving the room and talking about what we heard afterwards. I don't know who created that list, but it is far broader than this court has often lost the extent of secrecy.
Did you talk to
your
client
on the matter? No. Not about what occurred in that room.
What did you talk to him about? You
didn't talk to him about
it. Don't feel him for that.
An order in December of 2004. The petitioner commenced this action by filing a writ of prohibition. And in order to issue that writ of prohibition, he must find that drastic and extraordinary writ applied to this case. And Judge Davis did not properly exercise his powers or acted in his jurisdiction. The state and judge was both committed that that standard cannot be here and that the petition prohibition must be denied.
Davis' legal authority to administer to require presentation is particular.
Well, first of all, we will look to the case in this case, specifically in the persons for executions. But the cases generally say that while the threat is granted to the non-dual judge in determining the scope and the nature of the proceedings, I contend that whether the judge desires to require individuals participating in the non-dual take an oath of secrecy is part of the scope of the proceeding, part of the nature of the proceedings. Therefore, not only was it an inherent authority issue in my mind, but whether he abused his discretion.
I don't think anyone disputes the judge's power to execute him. The question is whether he had authority to administer this specific oath.
Well, this has to come from his inherent authority running the scope of the John Doe proceeding. Clearly, the statute is silent. You have to believe the statute doesn't, in its own terms, allow you to order anything as a John Doe. All the statute says is the proceedings may be secret. No tool John Doe had to ensure or maintain secrecy. Furthermore, John Doe had to be witnesses in both secrecy, more than clear instruction, more than prevention both for judges. There is no mention of being an oath of secrecy that both the witnesses and more than that is to lawyers. The petitioners concede that Judge Davis had the authority to give this oath to us. The only way he could get that would be to use his inherent authority to fulfill his jurisdiction.
It's a beautiful, hypothetical question to ask, and if it is out of class, but given the intent of the authority to seek the judge by a grant necessary, does the judge have the authority to take the witnesses and testimony for secrecy purposes?
That doing that would probably require Judge Davis to go to meet at the circuit court to actually put the judge or a witness in custody because of the constitutional due process groups that are probably included by doing that. So that would be outside the bounds of discretion of the non-go judge. I think that would definitely reach the limits of the non-go judge's. We, however, throw up and consider what if Judge Davis had decided that he only wanted to do an oath of secrecy? What if he didn't order the witness or counsel in these proceedings and keep the proceedings secret? Isn't the witness ready to an oath? Well, we don't order people to tell the truth and make them do an oath and then they may leave the statute. I was concerned that Judge Davis decided to keep the idea of giving oral orders to both the witness and the witness. He had included the court to go straight from all cases to affirm this now that you will do this, that your future conduct will be informed of this whole counsel. I'm sorry, I don't want to do that. But this is a different case, I think, because if you agree with Collins that the power of a John Doe is granted by statute, the jurisdiction is granted by statute, and you either get what you can do as a John Doe from that statute, or in the exercise of authority pursuant to the jurisdiction statute. Cummings says the question is whether or not the act is necessary to fulfill the jurisdictional mandate of the statute. Only the statute of the jurisdiction is a strange animal we're dealing with here, John Doe. So, in your hypothetical, where there is no order, I think you can make a better argument. The response of opposing counsel in part is, as he framed the question in a self-serving way, with all due respect, whether or not it was the purpose vis-a-vis already existing order to which he acknowledged and agreed he was bound to and would follow. So, first of all, you agree with that to come with that. So I would remind the court that the statute itself does indicate the extent to which the judgment proceeding determination is within the judge's discretion. And so, yes, within the jurisdictional mandate, which is to determine whether crimes have been committed and is for whom was committed, and the court has said over and over again that secrecy can be very helpful to those proceedings. This proceeding was secret. There was never any challenge to the secrecy of the secret order itself.
Even the secrecy order
in the admitted compliance with it by counsel. Why is the oath necessary to fulfill the jurisdictional mandate of the Johnville Council?
Well, perhaps it's a judgment rule over protective, but a more formal mechanism is to ensure the city's dealing in secrecy. And to all who participate in the tribunal, consider if you're a witness, an attorney, a bailiff, a prosecutor, a court reporter, it's just one more step to ensure the secrecy that goes down the whole of the proceedings, and which oftentimes leads to a true of whether or not the crime has indeed been committed in the home.
Well, I hear you answering, correct me if I'm wrong, I hear you answering that it's really not necessary. Maybe it's just an overprotective judge who is taking one additional step. So I want to focus you back on the inquiry of why taking the oath in view of the order, in the provision of the order, why is the taking of the oath necessary to fulfill the jurisdictional mandate, which includes
secrecy? Well, the judge indicated in his decision that he believes it's solid enforcement goal for the order, and that it is just more formalistic than to the jurisdictional secrecy. He said necessary to his proceedings to ensure that everybody is in place with their obligation. This is your obligation to come up and address the importance of this obligation. You're going to show the rulers the importance of this obligation and how important it is to these proceedings to be in a whole. That's the discretion of the attorney general, as the discretion was described in the case law.
Okay, what bothers me most about this case is not the oath or not making the oath required. What bothers me is the disqualification of counsel. Now, how is that justified, especially if you look at unnamed person number one and you look at the requirement that, okay, in certain circumstances, a condo judge can so act to disqualify counsel.
Mm-hmm.
But those purposes would normally involve a conflict situation or a situation that demanded the disqualification because of justice. I couldn't see that here. How do you justify the judge saying, sorry, you both are up for this because you didn't break my oath?
Well, if you presume that the law would be old, is within the lawful authority of the general judge, I'm hearing you say I can't presume this answer.
What can you presume?
Okay. The general judge can send a lawful order to an officer of the court, as Mr. Williams has pointed out before. And officers of the court have an obligation to obey the lawful orders of that judge or court. And it comes from the inherent authority of all the judiciary through our Constitution, Article 27, 2, 3. And if they can hold to accept those lawful orders, then they will be followed. And rather than using the word disqualification, which isn't the best word for the debate to use more often, it's a realization by Judge Dignan. For a lawyer in the courtroom, conform with lawful orders. And we all agree that lawyers and litigants need to follow the lawful orders of the court in order to preserve all the integrity of the case from any judicial proceeding.
Are there actions that could have been taken short of this qualification of two attorneys?
Well, in most cases, you have a right to submit the case. You can find people, you can make them pay attorney fees, you can disallow testimony, you can disallow evidence. And because it's a non-judicial proceeding, what else would there be of that many thoughts? Because you're right, I think it's a really good way to order people to pay off their $1,000, if you put people into the offense, and you're very sentence because you're limited representation, which is a choice of
If there's not
authorized John Doe Judge to force compliance with the subpoena or punish non-compliance. Indeed, in Washington, if I remember correctly, there was a contempt of court proceeding. And correct me if I'm wrong on this stuff. In Washington, there was a contempt of court proceeding. The court proceeding doesn't have that written down, no judges do, because there's no authorization for that kind of enforcement.
And there was never
what the school agents mean in that way. I always heard an appreciation in sign language. I always heard the term Hurley, and I may have heard wrong, he views that as an agency of the court, agency of the person who is telling here, I assume, is the term.
I can make some sworn in for all those who have been sworn in one way or another, but I think we are all the people with the secrecy, so we wouldn't encompass the one who have participated in the final. It was my understanding that you built that as an entire record, however.
Was the record reflect where the oath came from? Was it something that was authored by Ben Davis, or is it an oath that's been used for a long time in Washington?
I don't know about that either. I haven't seen it before. I wasn't really not involved in the proceedings themselves. And I believe that based on an informal poll, I think that it's not unusual for certain persons in the legal proceedings to realize who the deal so and then obtain it from another court or another court that deals with something they don't know.
Thank you.
I believe that we do the intent of the oath and the general idea of the proceedings behind it. Okay. It doesn't really depend what the author means by that, and I don't know if that's what the author means by that.
Thank you. So, yes. There are two things to me as the subject of the John Doe. It's more an Asian court, which is just some.
It is something that's not particularly sometimes.
Thank you.
think the court is Cal Carlo, and I represent the Supreme Individual.
Everyone, you have to keep this secret. You can't give the oath. So you have some other choices.
Well, not merely cases, but he had other routes that were completely being inferred from the statute. The statute says the proceeding may be secret. It makes sense that one can make order that the proceeding is secret. That's why I think it was a shorter route. In Cummings, they talked about stealing warrants, but they also said, essentially, you want to do this in the most limited fashion possible. And no question that in this instance, the oath might have been desirable, it might have been convenient, but it was not necessary. And that's because the first in order to close it with it. In this instance, he had already given the order, and the oath was being filed on the docket. My personal view is that he would not have the authority to give an oath. Remember, the oath is given in a lot of instances in which oaths are given, and where will this come? In an important case where there's a motion in limine with an anticipated 6-month trial, can you require counsel to take an oath without following that order? That's the point. What's involved here is people who are presenting themselves to the officers of the court who have already acknowledged that they understand they will follow the order. So, it could be done. They can invent all sorts of mechanisms. Not only to do it to adult, but suspend resistance help. But once you have one, the other becomes unnecessary.
Zero 4-18 of 4-20 John Doe versus Donaldson Griggs.